you who may not know her, you need to be here. As Dan said, she has a tremendous testimony. God's done tremendous things in her life. And so we need to support her. We need to be here. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're all here. More than that, I'm glad that he's here. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, for those of you who may not know, I'll tell you again, Stan and Connie are out of town. Well-deserved rest and well-deserved time with their kids in Kentucky. So, again, keep them in prayer. Amen? They'll have a good time. They'll be rested and refreshed. They'll be a blessing to their children. Their children and grandchildren will be a blessing to them. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I'm thankful we have a group here that's not so selfish that they can't get out of town once in a while.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, right now, Lord, I surrender my thoughts, my will, my being to you. I believe you've given me a word. People didn't come to hear me, Lord. They came to hear from you.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, for hiding me behind the cross. Let Jesus be the one who's exalted here today, Him alone. I thank you, Lord, for touching lives, even in advance now of this word, Lord. For giving illumination and enlightenment to spirits and hearts, Lord. So that we will not be the same as when we came here today. But there will be a change. And it will be for your honor and glory. And for the kingdom and the kingdom's purpose. For this we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was driving to work here this past week. And I was just sitting there thinking about Christmas and my granddaughter. And I started fussing and grumbling just a little bit. I know y'all don't know that I do that, but I do. But anyway, and I began to see a picture, and God began to deal with me. Not in a harsh way, but in a very real way. And I was thinking about a comment my daughter made to me, you know, my little apartment, I don't have a lot of room, and I don't have a lot of things as far as Christmas decorations and things. But for the little one, how many know the messages we've been hearing here for a long time is the fact that it's not about us, it's about Him.
Amen.
It's not about us, it's about others. Amen?
That's the truth.
And as I began to think about that, I thought, you know, of course, you know, the grumble, well, you know, I don't know if I have the money and this kind of thing. And all of a sudden it rose up inside me, Bill, it's not about you. It's about blessing that little girl, you know, keeping the focus where it belongs on Jesus, but blessing that little girl so that she'll understand and she'll remember and remain constant in her worship and her praise of God the Father, her Father, and then her bridegroom Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so as I began to think about that, I just kind of was thinking about it. And then throughout this past week, something that happened last week, and something that happened this week, I began to see some things and God began to deal with me. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Give me some new insight to some old scripture. It's not old really. There's nothing new under the sun, but there's new revelation in the Word of God every day. Amen?
Amen.
You can't exhaust it. Remember the scripture says that if we could write on the, if we had enough ability to write on volumes, there wouldn't be enough room in this earth to contain all of the things and all of the miracles that God's done. Amen? Hallelujah. So this morning, if you'll turn with me, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, I want to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is already going to throw you off, so don't try to figure out what we're going to talk about this morning. This is just the prelude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses 4 through the first part of 8 is what I want to read. But I want to read the first part of this, 1 through 3 first. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, or the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secrets, truths, and mysteries, and the and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love or God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but I have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing.
Right.
Now listen carefully. I'm going to read these four verses again at the end of this message, this word. Love endures long. Did you get that? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited or arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, and it does not act unbecomingly. Love, or God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Are you starting to squirm a little bit? If you're like me, then you already know that you fall kind of short in this sometimes. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah. I heard God say this week. As we grow in God, because of the Father and His Word, we begin to experience and see changes take place in our lives and attitudes. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? You can't walk with God for any length of time and not have some changes take place unless you're not really listening or hearing, or unless you don't have an intimate relationship with Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. In our lives and our attitudes, our focus is supposed to, because of the example of Christ, come off of us and go on to what pleases Him, and then to be a blessing to others, what pleases them according to His will.
Right.
Let me make sure you understand that clearly. Amen. In a greater way, and others, and in ways than ever before, in greater ways than ever before, we begin to look more and more in a greater way like Christ. He was our example, was He not? What He did only because the Father told Him. There was no self in Jesus. His whole purpose, His whole focus was to do the will of the Father, to speak what the Father said to speak. He didn't make any difference what His attitude was or what He wanted. He surrendered all that to the Father and the Father's will. Amen? Is that right? Praise the Lord. We become more aware of others, their needs and desires, and what makes them happy and is best for them in God. A desire to please others more than a desire to please, or more than a desire for what pleases us, rather than or desire to please others more than a desire to please ourselves. Are you with me? And that's what that's what I saw when I began to think about Kylie. It's not about me, and it's not about the money. God's my provider. Amen. We sang that this morning. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah. It's about something that will bless that little child, touch her heart and life, so that she'll remember and keep her focus right. It's not about Christmas trees and it's not about presents. It's about something that will bless her, that will let her see the goodness of God. And what are we in this earth? Aren't we the examples, the ambassadors? Aren't we the image of Christ in this earth? Amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah. If you want to turn with me to Matthew 16, and I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. Old scriptures, but maybe a new twist and slant. Amen? By the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Stan's been preaching messages here recently about taking up your cross and following him. That doesn't mean you go and get on the cross and die. That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about surrendering everything in your life, every focus, every thought, every desire, every anticipation, every care on him, his purpose and will, and obeying like Jesus did, as our example, amen, what he wants done. Giving up our rights, our wants, our desires, our focuses for his wants, desires, rights, and focuses. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Now listen carefully. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Well, I have my rights. Bad stance to take. And yet everyone in this room has done it. Amen? But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now the mentality of this world is when we go out and they're in everyday life, there's things, we have desires, we have aspirations and things, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but it's what we do with those and what the focus is that's right or wrong. Amen? It's like emotions. Emotions are neither right nor wrong. God gave us emotions. Emotions are okay if they're in control of the Spirit of God. Amen? So the point is, with our focuses and aspirations, sometimes we lose sight of God's plan and God's purpose and even God himself to fulfill our things. And we're going to get it, as the old saying says, come hell or high water. How can you focus on God and his purposes and plans if you're focused on you? You can't do it. What you're lacking, what you're desiring, those things take your focus away from God and put them on you.
Right.
How are you going to touch somebody else if your focus is on you? How are you going to hear from God? How many know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. If you want to gain life, life more abundantly, if you want to be used by God, then surrender your life. Surrender. You know, surrender is not surrender till it's surrender.
Right.
You throw up your hands and say, "It's all yours, Lord. It's all yours." Now that takes a process. We have been programmed by this world, by our experiences, and by the things that we've gone through in this life. I'm reminded of a scripture that's one of my favorites. It depicts my life. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. All the things that have gone wrong in my life have been my doing. I can't blame the devil. I blame me. My foolish, mixed up mind, and my inattention to the word and relationship with God that I needed to have. That intimate relationship as we spoke about during the praise and worship this morning. Amen? Literally, from the time I was a little boy, my mama said, "You're your own worst enemy." And that's the truth. When I'm not focused on him, and when I'm not looking for him and listening to his word and his will and spending time with him, then I become my own worst enemy. Because it's all about me. And for those of you who may not know, the term selfish, that last part of ish means God, self-God. You're seeking your own. And I didn't read that in 1 Corinthians, did you? It says that love doesn't even consider itself. Jesus was our example. He didn't consider himself. We saw for a brief moment in the garden where he prayed, "Father, if it be your will," the humanity coming forth. So it's righteous when he says that you don't have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. But in all points we're tempted as you and I are. But he immediately, before he even ended the sentence, said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise God. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. Now, we're all smart enough in here to know that that's not talking about what you do in yourself, but what you allow Him to do by your surrender to Him through you. Amen? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Don't go to sleep on me now. Praise the Lord. Every person in this room has at one time, if they're not still, come to the place where they are looking for some kind of fulfillment. In my young life, in my young Christian life, in my young walk with the Lord, I thought fulfillment was being married, having a family, having a home, children, living a peaceable life. Okay, what happens when the marriage falls apart? Your focus is wrong. Then you're devastated. You wonder, where, God, are you at? What's happening here? All I wanted to do was just serve you and do. But my focus was wrong. It was on the relationship with a wife and the children and life as I knew it based on some goofy old movies. I thought this was fulfillment and happiness. And I quickly learned that fulfillment and happiness only come through the relationship with God and His Word.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the truth.
The only way you get fulfillment in this life, the only way you'll ever find fulfillment or happiness is through God and His Word.
That's
Amen.
Right.
The relationship with Him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. John 15:11-16 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy," listen now carefully, "my joy may remain in you." He's spoken things to us so that His joy might remain in you. And I might submit to this to you that the only real joy you're ever going to know is the joy you find in and through Him and by obeying Him and doing His will. It's not going to come any other way.
That's right.
"And that your joy may be full."
Hallelujah.
Starting down that road to fulfillment. Amen. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Well, how did Jesus love you? How much did Jesus love you? This much. Because He obeyed the Father. Let's face it, any human being would say, let's see if we can figure this out. Jesus was no less human than you and I. But He had one focus in His life. And that's what brought, if you want to say, fulfillment into His life and pleasure to Him, in knowing that He had obeyed and pleased His Father. That was all that mattered.
Yeah.
And in so doing, He blessed us because He obeyed the Father. Is that right?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Are you beginning to see a picture here? That's how He loved us, by obedience to the Father. Wasn't a fuzzy feeling, right?
Right.
It was a determination to satisfy the will and the desire of the Father. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. I'll go and help so-and-so out, or I'll go and do this. As long as it doesn't take away from my things I've got going on. Oh, folks. That sounds a little bit like selfishness to me. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is not comfortable, but it's, as Stan would say, very profitable. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus laid His life down, not considering for a moment Himself, but you and I. He did this because it was the Father's will and the Father's plan. He desired to please the Father more than Himself. And it was for you and I.
That's right.
In verse 14, we're told in this verse what it takes to be His friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you.
Right.
Quote, end quote. You want to be the friend of God? You want to be the friend of Christ? You want to be the bride of Christ? Then do whatever He commands you. And you can't do that if there's any of you left in there. I thank God that the process is, as long as we keep our focus on Him, He, day by day, moment by moment, takes us to the place from where we're at and puts in us and changes in us, changes us from glory to glory. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We don't remain the same. If you're remaining the same, something's wrong. If you're not going forward, folks, I'm sorry. This is just the reality of it, the harsh reality. You're going backwards. When do we do this? Obey His commandments. Or when we do this, when we obey His commandments, our position in Him changes.
That's right.
Now listen to what verse 15 says. No longer do I call you a servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
Hallelujah.
Did you catch that?
Hallelujah.
Did you catch that? When we start out pretty much just mere servants of the Lord. But as we grow and we mature in Him, we become not just servants, but heirs and joint heirs and sons of God. And we begin to see and understand because He reveals to us what the Father has revealed to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good stuff. Woohoo! But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. Uh-oh, now it sounds like I have an obligation. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. If you want to bear fruit in your life and be successful, as Jesus was, keep the Father's words always. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How do I do that? Jesus said, the Word says, God's Word says, we're co-laborers with Him, and He's a co-laborer with us. We don't stand alone. We don't do it in our strength or our righteousness or our abilities. We do it in His abilities.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the only way you're going to make it. That's the only way. That's the only way. Hallelujah. The example of Abraham. And this, I don't know a person in this room that should not be or is not touched by this event in Abraham's life. Abraham loved God so much that even when he was tested, though it went crossways against his flesh, he was willing and obedient to comply, never losing trust in the Father. I'm going to read Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18, if you'll turn there with me, please. After these events, God tested Abraham, or tested and proved Abraham, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I, here I am. God said, take now your son, your only son, to you, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering, upon the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and then began the trip to the place of which God told him. Now right there, if you're thinking about this, here was the promise that God had given Abraham. He was going through a test. The Scripture says that. He was going through a test. Was it for God's benefit? No. God proved to Abraham, and God showed everyone that Abraham loved him more than his very son's life.
Amen.
Now, how easy would it have been, and what you and I probably would have done, is said, wait a minute, hold the phone. this is the son you gave me, and now you want me to sacrifice him? And I'm sure that went through his mind. But that's not what we read here. He was obedient. See, if you want to come through a problem or a trial or a situation that's wearing you down, that's a burden on you, surrender your will to the Father. Don't try to figure it out. Your intellect is never going to figure it out. The things of God are spiritually discerned. How many know that? The natural man doesn't receive the things of God. But the formula here is if your focus is on Him, it's going to come out for your good and the good of everybody around because it's His plan and His purpose and His will. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And Abraham said to his servants, "Settle down and stay here with the donkey. I and the young man will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Then Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on the shoulders of Isaac his son. And he took the fire for the fire pot in his own hand and a knife. And the two of them went on together. And Isaac said to Abraham, "Oh, you think you've gone through a test or trial? Have your son look at you in the eye, your child. Say what Isaac is about to say. My father," Isaac said to Abraham, "my father?" And he said, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "See, here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "My son, God Himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering." So the two went on together. Tell you what, how many of us would have been in that place? Setting aside our feelings or emotions that are raging at that moment. Raging. "God, I don't understand what's going on here. Why are you requiring this of me?" But because he had the focus on his Father and the plan of God, he told exactly what he knew in his heart. How do you know that? It just dropped in there? It's because he loved God and he obeyed God in everything. I'm not saying he didn't make mistakes like you and I, but that's not the issue. The issue is he kept his focus on God the Father and knew that God would cause everything to come out all right. Amen? Are you still with me? When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there. Then he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on the wood. This is just a little too close for comfort, huh? Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of God called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear and revere God, since you have not held back from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son." See, also in this we see a picture of the Father and His Son, Jesus, our bridegroom, right? The thing that was most cherished to God, His Son, and He didn't withhold that for us. And Jesus willingly went along, just like Isaac. Took it at face value. The Bible says, unless you come as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. But in our infinite wisdom in this day and age, because of our education and our experiences and stuff, we try to analyze everything and figure things out. Well, you know, No. We're told to diligently listen and obey. That we'll have good success when we observe to do all that He says. Amen?
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You want good success? What's the formula?
Listen and obey.
In everything. In everything. Hallelujah. Then Abraham, in verse 13, looked up and glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Then Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering and an ascending sacrifice instead of his son. talk about a cliffhanger or something too close for comfort or a hair raiser. He's standing there with his son bound on the altar, and that knife's right there. And at that moment, God says, fulfills exactly what Abraham proclaimed out of his mouth. Don't worry, God will provide the sacrifice. Amen? See? Matthew 10, 34 through 40. I want to portray two examples to you. I had a conversation just last evening with some family members and something that's going on in my sister's life. And I guess I'm not really surprised. I guess in my heart of hearts I've known this all along, but it just became evident. In other words, the blinders were taken off my eyes and I finally acknowledged, yes, this is the way it is. For those of you who may not know, my brother-in-law and my sister have been having some problems in their relationship. My brother-in-law, it doesn't make any difference what the circumstances are in his life, God's the answer, right? Amen? That God's the answer. So if you got a problem, you need to look to Him. And so now all of a sudden, through much prayer and counseling and things and time, God has begun to bring him around. He was into himself big time. It's all about me. It's all about good. It's all about what I'm worth. So now, because my sister was faithful, God begins to bring him around. He begins to make some changes and begins to start acting like he's a member of the family again. He's starting to have a good relationship with my nephew again. So now all of a sudden he's given an invitation, which he's never done before, to go to Thanksgiving with his, you know, with his family, to my sister and my nephew. Well, I don't know if I want to go. Then he's given an invitation and they want him to come to Christmas and he wants to come, and my sister is, you know, she's not sure about this. It's like she's double-minded. My little sister said to her, she said, you don't even know what you want. How is he supposed to know what you want? Or how is he supposed to make you happy? Or how is he supposed... First of all, he can't make her happy. How many know that? Happiness and fulfillment, remember, only comes from one place. So now she's got what she wants. She doesn't know what to do with it. And now she's holding them off. What's wrong with this picture? Last week, another incident or situation took place. We're all looking for love. We're all looking for acknowledgement. But man, we go to the wrong places to find it. It's because we haven't got the word down in us yet. It's also because we have a higher opinion of ourselves than we ought to have according to the Scripture. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? And I heard the fact that, well, but you don't know how this person treats me. And I began to share with this individual. And then I began to hear how this person that there was an issue with was dealing with this individual. Well, I've done everything. I've done everything I know. I don't feel loved. Do you know they even said something nasty to me? And right away inside my spirit, it rose up in me and I said, did you ever consider this? And immediately the light clicked on. Am I right? The light clicked on. Because when God's around, the light comes on. If you're listening, diligently listening and obeying, the light will click on. Amen. I never considered that. God gave an instant answer, or part of an answer, right at that moment. I never thought about that. And then after conversing with this person again this week, I find out that all of a sudden the lights come on, and some ugly stuff was there. Now, I know that doesn't fit any of us, but At least this person was honest enough to say so. My own self-worth, my own importance. Those are not exact words, but it gives you an idea. Guess why you're not feeling love? It's all about you. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. He must increase. Richard and I were on the way in this morning, and he was talking about John the Baptist and what John the Baptist said when Jesus was approaching the water. And his comment was, he must increase and I must decrease.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? How many know the answers are right here?
Right.
And how many know God's not done? This is not the final book or the final chapter. He's still writing on men's hearts. He's still speaking to people today. Right. If we're willing to listen. Yeah. Diligently listen and obey. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where were we? Yes. Do not think I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to part asunder a man from his father, and a daughter from her mother, and a newly married wife from her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be they of his own household. He who loves and takes more pleasure in father or mother than in me is not worthy of me. Those are not my words, folks. Those are the Word of God. It's right there in front of you if you're reading along. I can remember a time in my life, and for most of you, you know this, my testimony, that there was a time when I would almost hyperventilate just thinking about life without my mom or my dad, even though my life was not a bed of roses. That's beside the point. Think back, Bill. Remember the lion and the bear, Bill. Remember the lion and the bear, Bill, how he brought me through the divorce. And how when my focus was on him, the answers were there.
Amen?
My lion and bear. When everything I'd given my life to that I thought was what was right and righteous and just, and it fell apart, and there's nothing left to hang on to except God. And in him, I found the answer.
Amen.
I thought my ministry was over. I knew my family life was over. And then I had people, bless their hearts, telling me, you'll never get custody of your children. The problem is, folks, I say this and sometimes I don't think it even sinks into my brain. Those people who said this, bless their darling hearts and mixed up minds, even the pastors of the church I was going to at the time, said, Bill, you'll never get custody. But they forgot to ask God. God's got an opinion. God's got a will. He's got a plan. And it'll make it if it lines up with the government or the courts or the president or who or IRS or who it is. God's plan will prevail because he holds all of it in his hand.
Yeah,
amen?
True.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They only seem like mountains. How many remember what it says in Mark? If you believe and don't doubt, you can say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he who does not take, verse 38, and he who does not take up his cross and follow me, or cleave steadfastly to me, conforming wholly to my example in living and in deed, and in if need be, in dying also, is not worthy of me. You want an answer? Seek the one who's higher than you. Seek the one who's higher than I. He said, call upon me in the time of trouble. Don't get focused on what you don't have. Don't get focused on what you've missed out on. Don't get focused on your experiences and how people have mistreated you in life. A dollar and a half is more profitable than that thought. It'll at least buy you a cup of coffee. Focus on the one who's got the answer. Who is the answer? Amen?
Right.
Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give you glory. Hallelujah. Whosoever finds his lower life, I like this as the parentheses in the Amplified, whosoever finds his lower life will lose it. The higher life. You'll lose the higher life. Lower life is the focus down here on this earth. The Adamic nature, the selfish desires. And whoever loses his lower life on my account will find it. They'll find the higher life. Praise the Lord. You've just seen the formula for success. If you want, and God, man, God knows the things that you have need of. He knows the things that you need and that you desire. And He even gives you some of the things you desire. Not everything that we desire is wrong. It's the attitude in which we desire it. That's what's wrong. Amen?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. He who receives and welcomes and accepts you receives and welcomes and accepts me. And he who receives and welcomes and accepts me receives and welcomes and accepts him who sent me. The same can be said for you. We're told what to do if we go someplace and they don't receive our plate or peace and they don't receive us. That's right. And that doesn't mean we have to dishonor them in the process. Right? What's important? Is that situation or is that desire or that want or that focus that you have at the moment, is that going to take you to heaven or keep you from heaven? Is it going to change your salvation? It can. If you make the wrong decision. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John 5:30 says, I can of myself, this is Jesus talking, folks, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Excuse me, I don't know that it's Jesus. I may have been wrong there, but this is what it says there in John. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Oh, what a bold statement. Why can he say that? Read the rest of the verse. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's what makes his judgment righteous. Did you catch that? Do I need to read that again? If you want your thoughts and judgments to be righteous in your life, then you must follow Jesus' example in the Scripture. Give up your will for his or the Father's will, or and the Father's will. John 6:38 through 40 says, For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Wait a minute now. Where do we lose focus? Where do we lose this? When did we become so important? This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day.
Amen.
And verse 40, And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and will raise him up at the last day.
Hallelujah.
So our focus and our attention when it's in the wrong place or on a suffered wrong or something like that, we just stop walking in love. Oh, that's a little harsh. You're stepping on toes now, Bill. You're meddling. No, I'm telling you the truth of what God says. It's not my opinion. But I can tell you it works. This is not stuff... I mean, God's dealing with me as much as anybody. I'm walking this stuff out in my life. That's what gives me the right and the opportunity to share with you about this. Because God's dealing with me in my life. Bringing my focus back where it belongs. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now listen, we read in the previous verse, it says this in verse 39, it says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." And then read verse 40, all hand in hand. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
Amen.
Because of his obedience, we've been given to him. That's what we were created for, folks. Fellowship with the Father. But because of the way we've been educated, because of this life, because of the things we heard, Hollywood people and singers singing, "I did it my way," you know. People who are quote-unquote experts saying, "Take care of number one." Oh, man, if you're taking care of number one, you don't have a worry in the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Number one is not you. It's not me. Amen? Can we just establish that right now? If that's our mentality, then we're in trouble, folks. We need to change. We need God to come down and change us. Amen?
Amen.
We need the Word to take a hold of our life. And then finally in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you."
That's right.
That's not just talking about money, folks. That's talking about everything.
Yep.
Amen?
Right. That's the truth.
Hallelujah. John 5:30 said, "The only thing that is righteous is to seek the Father's will." And this will be the last scripture, but I want to read Matthew 6:24 through 33. Is anybody getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Besides me?
Yes,
sir. See, we're so worried about what we're going to miss out on that we lose focus of what's really important and where the answers to these things come from and God's opinion on these things, which is right here in this book. "No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to one and despise the other, or despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or deceitful riches, money, passions, or whatever it is, or whatever is trusted in. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life."
Amen.
"What you shall eat, what you shall drink, about your body, and what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing?"
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Help us, Lord. Look at the birds of the air in verse 26. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not much more than they?" Now, wait a minute. Don't let that pass easy. Think about it. What were you created for? Why did God create mankind in this earth? Fellowship with Him. We all are precious to Him, individually and corporately. Is that right?
Yeah.
"And who of you by worrying..." Oh, I remember somebody said one time in a Bible study we had years ago, very powerful thing. "If you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry?" Good word. "And who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure or cubit to his stature or the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence and dignity and grace was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grasses of the, or the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow it is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? What kills our faith, folks, is taking our focus and our attention off of him. Putting it on, well, I don't have this. Or did you see the way that person treated me? Where's that going to get you? What profit is there in that? Not much. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to wear, or what are we going to have to drink, and what are we going to have... Okay, we've already said that. For the Gentiles, or the heathen, wish and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all.
That's right.
Food, drink, clothing, a place to stay. He knows that. I remember Dr. Frederick K. Price. I remember listening to a testimony one time about in his young ministry. For those of you who don't know, he's a TV preacher. And he's a good man. I haven't followed him much lately. But the point is what he said is he said that showed a room where all they had was those cords that hung down with one light bulb. And all they had there was just a little sink, a one-hole restroom, and that's where they started out. And he was praying God, you know, about God, I've got all these things, you know. And God revealed to him the difference between his needs and his wants. His needs were to have a place for the people to be, to meet. A place for them to have running water. The light bill paid. And he had all those things. God provided for that. Sometimes we need to get an attitude adjustment and get our eyes focused. You know, we're kind of blurry sometimes, where we're not looking at what we want, but what's really the necessity. And God says, I'll provide that for you. It may take a day or two, a month or two, a year or two, or 10, for you to get to that place. But take the steps. Don't sit and fuss about. The minute you take your focus off of what you have in God and start looking at what you don't have, you start going backwards and you start missing and thwarting the opportunity for God to bless you and to give you what He's promised. Do you agree with that?
Yep.
Does that make sense? Don't do that. Bill, don't do that. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness.
Yes.
His way of doing and being right. Oh, His way of doing and... Uh-oh. Now, that can't be right. It doesn't say anything about my way. Then all of these things, taken together, will be given to you besides. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The only thing that's righteous, we read this earlier in John 5:30. Is to not seek our own ways or thoughts or plans, but to seek Him. And then the little annoyances and the little things that we feel hurt and wounded by, like the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Nowhere else. And then all of the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of what? His glory and His grace. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He must increase, and I must decrease. Amen. You want healing and deliverance today from those things that plague you, that you don't understand, that are tying you down, that are keeping you from the blessings of God? Focus on Him. Make the determination. And you know when you make that determination, then you open the door for Him to walk in and say, I want to help you through it. He's the one that changes from glory to glory. And how He does that is by when we submit to, surrender to, and obey His will and follow Him. Take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good. And He's got a plan for us. The only way that plan's fulfilled is if we get in line with His plan and we do it His way. And we can't do it any other way than making it so that the last person we consider is us. Amen?
Amen.
You want success in your business? Honor His word and obey. If He says, be in church, be in church. Don't be anyplace else. And don't expect God to bless and prosper you if you're not. You can't. It doesn't make sense. It's double-mindedness. When God gives us things, He doesn't give us special dispensation to do it our way or the way we think. It's got to be done His way, amen? And that's for everybody in this room. There's only one way. In fact, your Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death and then hell. I don't want to go there. Amen? I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. They're thoughts for good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. And they're thoughts to give you a hope and a future. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Stand with me as we dismiss, please. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here who needs prayer this morning, no matter what it is, we're here to pray with you. We don't have to go through a special thing. You don't have to come up here. But if you need prayer, just be honest enough to tell somebody that's around you, and we'll pray with you. Amen? God's got the answer. He is the answer. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
He's not only got it, but He is the answer.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I would like to stand in for somebody. And,
sure.
And then this is not anything serious, but it's we've got new managers coming on board. And there's some things that have happened in their life, and you know, I just want to pray for them that they'd be lifted up. I know that God brought them to this place. There's a lot of prayers answered in the fact that they're coming and taking our place and so forth. And I just want to see them prosper here and God's plan be fulfilled for them in this place, and that whatever time they're in that position, that they you know, that God accomplished in their lives what He had planned on having that happen.
Yeah.
And I just
Amen.
Want to thank Him in advance for that. You know,
Amen.
Just a
Did you all hear that?
Okay.
Yes.
Are we in agreement?
Yeah.
Then it's finished.
Amen.
It's done and it's finished. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Prayer of agreement is the most powerful thing we have, the most powerful prayer we can pray or that we can get in line with. It's being agreement in God's Word and what God's plan is. And I didn't hear one thing that He said that wasn't God's plan for these people. Did you?
Nope.
Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Oh, if we only had a glimpse of how much He loves us, it wouldn't make any difference if we had a friend in the world. Our word, our Bible says, your word that you read says that when your father and mother, even your father and mother, forsake you, the Lord will take you up. Amen? Hallelujah. How do we lose, folks? I don't see anything that's a losing proposition in this, do you? Except what keeps us from gaining what we need to, what we have a right to, and that's us. That's the only thing that causes us to lose, right?
Right.
God help us. Father, we look to You and we seek You, Lord. We thank You for the Word. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You that You do speak to us still today. And we seek after You with our whole heart, Lord. Cause us moment by moment, day by day, as we spend time in fellowship with You, to more and more, more than yesterday, but even more tomorrow than today, to hunger and thirst after You. You alone, Lord. Because in You is life and light. You alone. You're the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And we can't seek life outside of You, Lord, because it won't happen. We'll fall very short. We'll be disappointed. We'll be confused, dismayed. But that's not from you, Lord. Those are things we don't have to experience. I thank you that you've given yourself both your word and your life, Lord Jesus, in obedience to the Father, to set the example for us so that we can walk above these things, that you came down, that you brought the tall places low and the low places high and made the crooked places straight for us. If we'll just keep our focus on you, and even though we may see a bump in the road, we may stumble and fall down, Lord, we're not utterly cast down, but we'll rise again. A righteous man rises, you know, falls seven times and rises up again.
Right.
Though he falls seven times, he rises up again. I thank you, Lord. Make this real to your people, that their steps, because they're righteous in your eyes, what makes them righteous? By obeying and following the Father. Their steps are ordered by you.
Yes.
We thank you for that. We give you praise and honor. Now seal this word in every heart, Lord. Let my words fall to the ground. Let your word be sealed in every heart. Let it bring life and light. And let it be profitable for your kingdom, Lord, for your honor and glory, in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.
Amen.